President Obama goes to Silicon Valley.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama flies to the Bay Area today to talk about job growth with leaders from one sector of the economy that's actually doing pretty well, high tech. Let's get the details now from our Silicon Valley correspondent, Steve Henn. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
So tell us who the president's going to be meeting with.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, Eric Schmidt, Google CEO, and Steve Jobs from Apple.
Steve, I thought Steve Jobs was out on medical leave.
He is, but he's been seen around town eating at Indian restaurants in Mountain View and recently on campus. So he's expected to be there tonight.
Now, President Obama has been asking a lot of CEOs all across the country to do more hiring. Is that the message he's going to be bringing to Silicon Valley, which is already doing pretty well, right?
Yeah, I think he will probably be asking these CEOs what the government can do to spur innovation. You know, he might be trying to get their secret sauce. Google and Apple and Facebook have been doing tremendously well, generating a huge amount of wealth and profits and products people like. But the dirty little secret here is that these companies actually don't create that many jobs. Google has less than 30,000 employees. Apple has 30,000 employees. Facebook, just a few thousand total. Meanwhile, Apple's biggest contractor in China, Foxconn, has more than a million people working there. So these companies are creating wealth, not jobs, here. And in Santa Clara County, the headquarters of all three firms, the unemployment rate is still above 10%.
Wow. Marketplace's Steve Henn in Silicon Valley. Thanks, Steve.
Sure thing.
Well, the list of what did make it into President Obama's budget is a long one, but there's still plenty of stuff that didn't make it. One item involves the Panama Canal, albeit indirectly. Engineers are making the canal bigger right now so that larger ships will be able to pass through. Well, to handle those ships, the Port of Miami was hoping the federal government would pay to deepen Miami's shipping channel. But as Marina Giovanelli reports now from Miami, officials will have to look elsewhere for the money.
The Port of Miami wants to deepen its shipping channel by 8 feet so it can accommodate ships known as Super Post Panamax.
These ships are larger. They bring more cargo. So basically almost twice as large as what we can accommodate right now.
Deputy Port Director Juan Carrilla says Miami is one of only three ports on the East Coast that could accommodate the bigger ships. The port in New Jersey has a low-hanging bridge that would block the ships. The port in Norfolk, Virginia needs to make way for Navy vessels. Carrilla says if the Eastern Seaboard wants to be a player in international shipping, Miami is where it's at. So he couldn't believe it when his colleague came to tell him they didn't get the federal money to dig.
I asked him to go back and check again. I'll tell you why, because this project, we were not asking for a lot of money.
The port had asked the president for just $100,000 out of the $150 million it would cost to dredge. Carrilla's team is now looking to Congress and the Department of Transportation for the funds. From Miami, I'm Marina Giovanelli for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down right now across Europe. London is down a fraction of a percent. You know what's up, though? Tourism to the Aloha State. The Hawaii Visitors Bureau says air passenger arrivals jumped 10% last month compared with last January. The temperature, by the way, today on Waikiki Beach, 81 degrees. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 61 points to close at 12,288.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
In some parts of Mexico, getting a work visa for the U.S. is like winning the lottery. Unless, of course, that work visa is a fraud. From Monterrey, Mexico, Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has this report on a scam that's targeting poor migrant workers.
When he came to the United States, Jose Paz expected to work in construction. He says he and other migrants each paid Mexican recruiters $400 to get legal work in the U.S., but when he arrived, there were no jobs.
The recruiters falsified signatures for real companies so they could get the group into the country.
Paz was stranded in Colorado in the winter.
We stayed there without money. We didn't have clothes for the cold climate, so we suffered a lot.
He had to borrow money to get home. In the end, a trip intended to enrich him actually cost Jose Paz about $1,800. Luciano Escamilla investigates fraud for the U.S. consulate in Monterrey. He says immigrant workers are easy targets because they're desperate for work.
The people want to hear good news. And the swindlers, they know what to say to these guys to get money.
Poor folks scrape together everything they can, only to lose it.
We have heard everything from $100 to $5,000. People who sell their houses to get the money to travel to the U.S. And at the end, they got nothing.
As a rule of thumb, the U.S. consulate's Mark Ludicky recommends,
if someone is asking you to pay any fees up front, then in all likelihood, that opportunity does not exist.
Visa fraud attracts hustlers on both sides of the border. Luke Durkin is the consulate's fraud prevention manager.
Employers in the United States will request more workers than they actually need. They will charge workers for those visas. Other times, people will submit entirely false petitions where they're charging workers for the visas.
The Migrants Attention Center in Monterrey helps workers avoid getting ripped off. It estimates that poor Mexican workers have invested more than $2 million in U.S. jobs that don't exist. In Monterrey, Mexico, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, you know what the new big thing is? Winning the Guinness World Record for most Facebook likes in a 24-hour period. This week, cookie maker Oreo asked its 16.5 million Facebook fans to like its post so it could win. It succeeded in beating the existing record with 114,000 likes in one day. But rapper Lil Wayne heard about the Oreo stunt and asked his 20 million fans to like his Facebook posting. He beat Oreo five times over. So, you know what to do now? Yes, you do. We are APM Marketplace on Facebook. Go like us. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Clothes, it's said, make the man. And the woman, it seems. As Fashion Week ends in New York City, the most notable trend was suits for her.
People buy tailored clothing. That's what people invest in.
Don't throw out those floral dresses yet, though. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Fashion is cyclical, you know. We'll have the day's business news as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.